Good morning. It's my pleasure to welcome you to our service this morning. It's good to be in God's house and worship Him this morning. We're going to ask that you stand with us, please, as we open our service with the hymn At Calvary. Stand with us, please, as we open our service.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me He died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. Sin I learned, then I trembled at the law I spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. Everything. Now I gladly own Him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man, oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. So found liberty at Calvary.
Amen. Aren't you glad about God's grace and mercy? If you're a visitor here, welcome to our service this morning. It's good to see everyone today. Turn and greet each other as our pastor enters the stage this morning.
Good morning, everybody. Today is the day that we met together to worship, so I'm glad you came to be with us. We also welcome those who view in by Facebook and YouTube, and we have an app now, so some people are watching by app, and then our webpage. And then also we have people who listen to the radio, and we welcome you today to our worship service. We're preaching today from Philippians chapter 4, so that's where we'll be going today, and I'll be talking about the joy of security. All across America today, and really the world, churches have been asked today to take time to pray for the situation in Ukraine. I know that the last thing I read about it this morning was that they are going to try to go into negotiations for peace. We don't know if that's going to happen or not, but we know that the fighting is increasing. We know this, that people are dying. We also know that it's a bad situation. What the Southern Baptist Mission Board is hearing and different agencies in the Southern Baptist Convention is that that a lot of the churches now have gone underground to meet They're not meeting in public now. Some of them are, some of them are not. But there's strong persecution that's coming against the church also in Ukraine. So it is a bad situation. It really is. So what we're going to do today is take time to pray for the situation there. Yesterday and upward, we had a moment of silence, and all day yesterday, throughout all the day, different people that would come in for the different games at halftime, we just had that time of silence. So a lot of people were praying yesterday, and we're going to pray today for the situation. So let's bow in prayer. Father, we know that you're sovereign. We know that you have all power and all might. Lord, these are things in life that we don't understand. We don't understand the aggression and all that goes in with the hatred and everything with war. But Lord, we just trust in you. We're trusting you in this situation. We pray for the safety of the people. We pray for the military, our military, the military there, and for the NATO forces. We pray for your safety. God, we just pray that you would be with the leaders and give our leaders and the leaders of Ukraine and the leaders of the world, give them wisdom as they work in this situation. Father, it's just a reminder to us that we are living in the last days. We are in the end times, because the Bible tells us as your coming draws near that this is what's going to happen. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and we just see that lived out every day. And so, Father, we pray today that that we would put our trust, our faith, and our hope in you. And again, we bring these requests to you today. And Lord, we just know you're sovereign and you're in control. And we look to you for the answers that we need. And for this situation, we just commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, we made it through the last 12 weeks. We've been doing upward basketball with practice and games. And I want to thank everyone that helped us with that. We had a lot of people. It takes a lot of people to get it done with volunteers. So I want to thank all the players and coaches and everyone that helped us with Upward this year. We had a great season, and we're thankful for all those that helped us. We're going to continue this morning singing about God's grace and two familiar hymns, Grace Greater Than Our Sin and Whiter Than Snow. So you join in with us.
So grace, grace, God's grace. will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want you forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
Thank God for His grace and mercy that was shown at the cross. We're going to introduce, well, not introduce, we've sang it once before, House of the Lord. We're going to ask you to join with us. Psalm 66:1 says, let the whole earth sing joyfully to God. We're here today to sing joyfully to Him. So we're going to ask that you join with us. Stand if you're able to stand and join in as we sing House of the Lord.
We worship the God who is, we worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors, He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord, there's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in His place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. As He hung up on that cross, if He rose up from that grave, my God still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord. there's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise.
This is one true God. We have one true God, one word, one Savior, one name above all names, one true God.
One voice in the dark, a song that lights up the stars. One breath that gives life, one sovereign in power, who speaks with thunder and fire. One Lord, one King, there is no other that can compare to you. You are the one alone.
Father, we thank you that there is no one equal. There's no power equal. God, you have proven to be faithful. You have proven to have no comparison to you at all. We thank you for your mercy and the grace we've sang about. We thank you for your greatness, your power and authority over this world. God, we thank you for the plan of salvation that you had through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for forgiveness of sin and the hope of heaven. We thank you for eternal security through you. Ask that we open our hearts to receive your word today. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, worship team. Philippians 4 and verse 4 is where I want to begin reading. Another thing about Ukraine that I learned through all this is that there's about estimated 35 million Christians in Ukraine, and that in that part of the world, Ukraine is the most Christian country over there. So there's a lot of believers there, and that's something I wasn't aware of, that it was that significant, but we do need to pray for the situation there. Philippians 4:4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Scripture says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. So we're going to talk today about the joy of security. Now, all through this series in Philippians, we've made the point that there is a difference between happiness and joy. That joy is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Joy is based on our faith in God. Happiness is based on happenstance or circumstance. So we've tried to make that distinction. I recently ran across this prescription for unhappiness. And if you're looking for a new way to be unhappy, maybe you can find something here. But I want you to listen to these ideas. If you really want to be unhappy, make the little things bother you. Lose your perspective of things and don't put things first things first. Another way is to be a perfectionist and condemn yourself and others for not achieving perfection. Here's a way. Be right, always right, perfectly right, all the time. Be the only one who is right. And be rigid about your rightness, okay? Don't trust or believe people. Always compare yourself with others. Take personally everything, you know, that anybody says or does and go around with a chip on your shoulder. And then another suggestion here was to make unhappiness the aim of your life. Now, we don't set out to be unhappy in life. I don't think that's anyone's goal, to be unhappy in life. So Paul is speaking to us here in a very, very personal way. Paul's getting personal with us here. Now, he's been talking here in three chapters, and so now he's coming down to chapter 4, and he's coming down really to the conclusion of the book. So rather than giving us the answer for anxiety and everything in the beginning of the book, he waits to this point. And so what he does here is give us this idea of where we can find security and where we can find joy. And he's going to give us the answer here in these verses today. And so he offers not ideas of just happiness, But what he does here is to give a philosophy of life, a philosophy of life that we can live by that guarantees deep joy in our life, no matter what we face in life. So what he tells them here is, what I want you to do in order to have this joy is to follow these truths that I've been teaching you, all these three chapters. I want you to follow these truths. Follow my example, what you have seen in me. Now remember, Paul's in prison when he's writing to the Philippians, okay? So what you've seen in me, what I've wrote you about, what I've taught you, I want you to follow these things. The word rejoice is found 9 times in the book. The word joy is found 4 times in the book of Philippians. Then the phrase rejoice with is found 2 times. So what Paul says here is this, that joy is a relationship. Joy is a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is what joy is. The Bible teaches us that joy is centered in God. So that's why we can rejoice. We don't rejoice over bad things that happen. We don't rejoice over heartaches. We don't rejoice over pain and suffering. I mean, we don't get stupid about this stuff. That's not what the Bible's saying. But the Bible is saying we can have a deep joy in our lives. In our heart, we can have a source of contentment in our life and peace in our life. Why? Because we have faith in God and we know that He's in control. Listen to Psalm 5:11. But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. So again, the source of joy is God. That's where joy comes from. Psalm 9:1-2. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. Not in the circumstance, but in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. And then Nehemiah 8:10, the verse that we've referred to a lot. The joy of the Lord is my strength. When we have joy, it can be a constant possession in our life. Why? Because we have a relationship with God. And that relationship with God gives us the security in life that we need. It gives us the foundation that we need to stand on. I tell you what, with everything going on in this world today, you better make sure you have a solid foundation, that your life is built on the solid rock, Jesus Christ. Because we need that, folks. So what Paul deals with here is how that a mature Christian can rejoice in any situation. And he tells us here in verse 5. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. That phrase means 2 things. One thing that it can mean is that the coming of the Lord is near. It can mean that. The Lord is at hand. But the emphasis here that Paul uses is this. He's talking about the nearness of God. He's talking about the presence of God. Paul says, the Lord is near you. God's presence is with you. And so he tells us here that we can know His presence. The Lord is close to us. There's no greater spiritual stability than to know this, that the Lord is near to us, that His presence is with us. You know what that means? That He's close to us to help us. That He is close enough to us that He can hear us, that when we pray that He hears us, that if we are in a situation where we cry out to Him, He is near to us. Listen to Psalm 73:28. The nearness of God is my good. Isn't that great? The nearness of God is my good. And so He's good. He's great. God's goodness carries us through life so many times. And so when we face trials, those believers, what we are tempted to do is forget about the goodness of God. See, one of the great things about, you know, living life and going through life, and one of the great truths of the Bible is this, that the way we make it is to remember the goodness of God in the past. When you go through circumstances in life and you're facing hard press with things, just remember the goodness of God in the past, because what He did for you then is what He will do for you now. And so that gives us great, great encouragement. David remembered the character of God. And when David did that, he said God restored the joy in his life. Habakkuk's faith in God made him a spiritual, stable man. He said, you know, the drought may come, the crops may not come in, the situation may not work out for me, but he said, I'm going to praise God, and I'm going to rejoice because I know that He is God. Because the presence of God, then what he says here, because of this presence, because the Lord is at hand, then we don't have to be anxious for nothing. We don't have to worry about anything, because God's presence is near to us. And so even in our deepest pain, we can rejoice. Not because of the pain, but we can rejoice to know that the Lord is near. And so that's what the Bible is saying. When the Bible says to rejoice and always rejoice, that's what it's talking about. That God is with us in our pain. God is with us in our difficulty. So in the middle of pain, suffering, stress, anxiety, then what the thing we want is this. We want God to show us what we can learn in the situation. That's what we want. So we want to trust Him. We want to know that He is in control. You know, I thought about today too, with all the pain and heartache and suffering that we see in the world today. You know, this would be a good time for us to think about, you know, what we need to do about that. And what we need to do about it is to let people know about God, to let them know that there's a person and there's a place that you can bring your pain, you can bring your heartache. There's a person you can talk to. There's a person who cares. And as the Bible says, we are to cast all our care on Him because He cares for us. So the Bible tells us that we can bring our pain to Him, our heartache to Him, because He cares for us. You see, joy is not a feeling. It's not a feeling. It's a deep down confidence that God is in control and that He cares and that we can trust Him, that He wants our good for His glory. And no matter the circumstance in life that comes our way, the Bible tells us that what increases our joy and really increases our security is the knowledge of God, knowing about God. So what do we know about God? Well, the knowledge of God is the key to rejoicing. And that's what Paul's been talking about in the book of Philippians. So we know about the goodness of God. We know about His salvation. We know that God has promised to supply all our needs. We know that there's joy in serving Him. So that's what we know about God, and that's what gets us through these things. Now, the first thing that Paul does here in this passage is to address the problem. And so that's what we'll talk about now. In verse 6, the problem was this. The problem was worry. Now, he uses the word here, anxious. Be anxious for nothing. And really, the word that he uses there for anxious, it's the same word for worry. But it means to be pulled apart. You know, our hopes pull us one way, and then our fears pull us another way. And so that's what the word means. It means that we're pulled apart. Now, he's going to deal with this in these verses that we're going to talk about. What he tells us here is this, that what leads to anxiety and what leads to worry really are two things: wrong feeling and wrong thinking. And he says when we get the feeling wrong and we get the thinking wrong, then what that does is to lead to anxiety and it leads to worry. One of my favorite coaches, all-time coaches in NFL, was Tom Landry. And in his book that he wrote, he shared a lot of his faith, his belief in God. He shared a lot about his testimony in life. And one of the things that always impressed me is, you know, when he'd stand on the sideline, he'd just be calm, cool. He always wore a tie, had that hat on, you know, that he wore all the time. But, I mean, he didn't get bent out of shape. He just stood there. But in his book that I read about his testimony, he was writing about this. And they asked him how he could keep his composure during all these anxious times during the football game. Here's what he said. He said, "I overcame my fears and anxieties by a commitment to something far greater than winning a football game. A commitment to Jesus Christ." Coach Landry's right. You know how we overcome anxiety and worry? A commitment to Jesus Christ, and to believe in Him and to trust in Him and to know that He cares, that He's in control. With all the fear and anxiety and worry that we find in the world today, they did a recent study about worry and anxiety and things like that. And here's the result of that study. 40% of the things people worry about never happen. 30% of the worries are related to past matters that are beyond a person's control. According to this study, 12% have to do with anxiety about health. 10% is worry about friends or neighbors. Or in most cases, there's really no need for anxiety. According to the study, 8% of the things may be things legitimate to be concerned about. But what this all means is this. Here's the result of the study. That most of the things that we worry about, most of the things that we're anxious about, never really happen. You see, I understand fear. I understand pain. That's real. But that's not the same as worry. Pain is legitimate. Fear is legitimate. But you see, the Bible tells us that worry is a choice. And so when we make that choice to worry, now here's where the sin of worry comes in. We're distrusting God. And so Paul says the way we deal with it, the way we deal with anxiety and worry, is to trust God and to put our faith in Him. Then he talks about the prescription here in verses 6 and 7, and that's the second truth. So how do we handle this worry? Well, he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So what's the solution here? Pray. What's the answer to worry? Pray. What's the answer to being anxious? He says, pray. So look at what he says here. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, that's what it means. Everything by prayer. Now he uses three words here. Prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. And all those words are important. What is prayer? Prayer in the Bible, the word prayer in the Bible, is a general word that's used for prayer. What it means is adoration. What it means is worship. It means when we just pray to God. However, when he uses the word here, supplication, that's what we would call a help prayer. Help me, God. Lord, I need help here. You know, I need your help. And whatever the situation is, we that's what a supplication is. We go to God and we say, God, you got to help me right here. Without you, we're just not going to make it. So with supplication. But he uses the phrase here, with thanksgiving. So if it's praying, this general prayer, if it's crying to God for help, it's always with thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you for hearing me, God. Thank you for answers to prayer. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for what you've done for me in the past. So we're just thanking God here for his goodness. You know, one of the greatest examples I think of this is Daniel. in the Old Testament. He gives us a great illustration of it. When Daniel went into the den of lions, you know what the Bible says? He wasn't anxious. He wasn't worried. He was calm. But the king of Babylon, he was the one that couldn't sleep that night. I mean, he was all worried. He was all bothered. But the man who was in that den of lions had peace like a river. Where'd that come from? It came from God. And it came from his trust in God and his faith in God. So, you see, the right kind of praying is something that we ought to do. And so he tells us here the right kind of praying. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. That's how we handle the worry and the anxiety. That's the kind of praying that every Christian can do. We can do this kind of praying. So that right there is your answer for worry and anxiety. Okay? Then the third truth here, he talked about the program. How do we get there? How do we apply all this? Well, here's what we know, and here's what psychologists and psychiatrists and counselors tell us. That in our mind, any time in our mind, when we take a bad habit out or we're going to change the way that we're thinking about something, that what we've got to do is to replace that thought or what we're thinking, we've got to replace it with something else. And so when we take those thoughts of fear and anxiety and things like that, when we're not thinking about that, but we're focusing on God, then here's what we replace it with. He tells us here that what we need to do in verse 8, he says, we think about these things. Things that are true. Things that are noble. Things that are just. Whatever things are pure, lovely. Things that are good report. If there be any virtues, what he says is, meditate on these things. So that's what we replace it with. So Paul tells us here the right kind of thinking. In chapter 1, you know what Paul talked about? He talked about the single mind, a mind that's focused on Christ. And here was his formula in the book of Philippians. In chapter 2, he talked about the submissive mind. In chapter 3, he talked about the spiritual mind. And then here in chapter 4, you know what he's talking about? He's talking about the secure mind. And so here's his formula for getting there. So we've got to do really two things. We've got to have the proper thoughts, and so he tells us what to think about here. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Many years ago, somebody gave me a plaque that said this: you are not what you think you are, but what you think you are. And that's a pretty good truth there. But not only do we think the right thing, but he says we got to do the proper thing. We got to do the right thing. Practice, he said, practice what you've heard of me. So what did he talk to them about? Love God more. Love each other more. Have greater discernment in your decisions in life. Be sincere without offense. He talked to them about that. He said, be filled with the fruits of righteousness. We talked about this the other week, to live a life worthy of the gospel. He told them to do that. Stand fast in one spirit. Be of like mind. Be in one accord. Esteeming others more than ourselves. Doing things without complaining. Self-discipline. Holding fast the words of life. Looking out for false teachers. So that's, he said, this is, you know, behave this way. Have the right kind of things that you do. So Paul was a living example of that kind of conduct. So what is the result of all this? What's the promise? Here's the promise. He tells us in verse 7 that if we do these things, if we just, you know, we pray about it, we trust God, then here's the result. Then what happens? The peace of God. Do you see it in verse 7? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. God's protection, he stands at the guard, as a guard at your heart, at your mind. God's presence, the God of peace, will be with you. Look at it in verse 9 there. Verse 7 tells us about the peace of God, but verse 9 says, "The things which you learned and received of me and heard and saw, these things do. The peace of God will be with you." So we have His protection, we have His peace, and what a wonderful thing it is to have God's peace. And it's a peace that goes beyond our understanding. So what's the answer here to all the fear, all the anxiety, all the worry? God's peace. And to know His peace. Listen to these verses and then I'll close. Ephesians 3:20, "Now to Him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all things that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." That's God's peace. John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And Jesus said this in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me," see here it is, "in me, you may have peace." In the world, in our world system, in the world that we live in, you will, not might, not maybe, but you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Paul doesn't say that if we pray like he wants us to pray here with prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, that all our problems are just going to vanish away. Doesn't say that's not the promise. Paul doesn't say that the circumstances would change. So let me ask you this. What is the value of praying? What's the value of praying to God in what we're talking about here today? The value is this. What prayer does is change us. And what happens through the circumstance of life is the change that God brings about in us. And so that's the value of it. It increases our love for Him. It increases our faith. And it increases our trust in Him. I'd encourage you today to have that relationship with God. If you do not have that relationship, you need to establish that relationship with Him. Because that's the key. That's the key to joy and peace in life, is to know Him. Let's stand for our time of invitation. Father, we thank You for Your Word today, and we thank You for the truth of the Bible. I pray today that during this invitation that You would bring those today who need to come. And Father, we just pray today that we would bring our pain, that we'd bring our heartache and disappointment to You, and just leave it with You, because we know that You're a God who cares. As the Bible says, we're to cast all our care upon You, because You do care for us. The Bible says the Lord is at hand. And that means that You're with us today. That means that You hear us and Your presence is with us. Not only today, but every day. And we thank You for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is Easton's dad, Michael, and Easton, something happened to him this week that we're going to tell you about, okay?
So we had our devotion this week for Upward, and we got to This is the week we present the gospel, and we always wonder who we're reaching, that kind of stuff. And so thankful that I was able to do that with Easton. He asked questions when we got home, so we told him just to get a parent and talk to them, and we were so thankful. He got home and prayed with Jada and accepted Jesus in his heart. I wish you could see the excitement that he had Tuesday. He got to call Jeff and John, and if you didn't get a phone call from him, don't worry. It's probably because I didn't have your phone number, but his legs were shaking and bouncing. He was so excited, and it was just so humbling to see that, and we thank you for letting us do that program Upward. I mean, it takes a church to do that, and you wonder how many lives you're really reaching until, and really hits home when it's your own child, and we're just so thankful for that. Thank you.
Okay. Easton called me Thursday night. He said, "I'm a Christian now." I said, "Amen." So that's good news. And I think every dad and mom in here can, you know, you feel Michael's heart today and Jada, because this is great. And this is what you want for your children. It's what you want for your grandchildren. You know, you want this for everybody. And that's what it's about, folks. I mean, it's all about that. So it's been a good day. I mean, we rejoice. We rejoice with this. And it's really been good. So go this week in God's security, and go in His peace, and go in His grace. The worship team will come now with our closing song.
Thank you, Pastor. As Michael said, it's not about basketball. It's about changing lives and sharing Christ. And Michael's a big help for me and Upward, and it's about reaching people, sharing His love, and it comes to fruition when you see one make a decision. So we're very proud of Easton. We're going to close with the song, "I Will Serve Thee." So you think about that this week as we go through the week. Come by and shake hands with Easton. Also, the deacons will meet at 4 o'clock. I think the bulletin said 5, meet at 4 o'clock. Come by and shake hands with Easton and Michael and Jada. Okay?
I will serve.